Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled A Foundation to Build On. We're going to be looking at the four basic building blocks that we need to build the foundation of our faith upon. And we'll begin this series of studies in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And in just a few moments, we will start at that passage. While you're getting your Bibles, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us at Grace Alive. We have, of course, a mail address, a toll-free phone number, and a web address. And in any one of those ways, if you contact us during this month's series of studies, we'd be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVs, or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies. If you just write and request the series on the building on a foundation, or a foundation you can build on, we're glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. Right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul tells us that he is the wise master builder. The wise master builder of the dispensation of grace and of the church, the body of Christ. And he has laid a foundation, and we are building upon that foundation that he laid. Now in verse 11 he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And we're going to talk in this series of studies about building on that foundation. Now Paul tells us the foundation is Christ, and that certainly is true. We're going to look at four separate areas in which we need to understand how Christ reveals himself and how Christ is presented in this dispensation of the grace of God, and how those four areas become the building blocks, the foundation that we can build upon to build our Christian life. So as I said, our title this month is A Foundation to Build On. And as we begin this series of studies, we're going to go back to some previous series here on Grace Alive at those four foundations. We've talked about these four foundations in the past, the foundations that we need to build upon. One is a book you can trust is one of those foundation stones that we need to have laid before we start building. Secondly, once we have a book we can trust, we need to think about a gospel you can believe. Thirdly, once we have a gospel we can believe, we need study that you can understand. Because without understanding, you really can't build much of a foundation. And finally, a life you can live. If your theology or your philosophy doesn't get you ultimately to living life, to instructing you in how to live your life, then it really is of not much value, because that's the purpose of any philosophy, the purpose of any theology, the purpose for studying to understand is to get to the point where you know how to live your life. Now, as I said, we've been through all of these in the past here on the broadcast. This time through, we're going to focus on the last word in each of these. A book you can trust, a gospel you can believe, study you can understand, and a life you can live. We want to look specifically at what it means to have a book you can trust, the trustworthy nature of that, and where that book has to come from if it's going to be a book you can trust. A gospel you can believe. Why is it necessary to have a gospel that you believe rather than something you do? It's belief as opposed to works. Thirdly, study you can understand. It's important not just to read the Bible, not just to skim through it, not just to talk about it, but to really understand what it is that the Bible has to say. And finally, a life you can live. We need a life that we can live. As I said, if your theology or your understanding of Scripture doesn't get you to the point where you're living life and is teaching you how to live that life, then it really isn't of much value for you, because that's the goal. The goal in all four of these, what they all lead to, is this idea where you're living your life. So we're going to take a week this month, a week for each of these, and understand how these are the four principles upon which you need to build that foundation. They're the principles that form the foundation, I should say, that you can build your Christian life on. They're the principles that form the foundation that will give you a solid footing upon which you can build. We want to start today by talking about a book you can trust. And as I said, we focus especially on the final word in each of these items, a book you can trust. And if you want to have something that you can trust, the first thing you need to understand about that is that if you're going to have a book that you can trust, a source of information that you can trust, it needs to be a source of information that comes from outside of yourself, that is not dependent upon your own personal preferences and your own personal likes and dislikes and your own personal feelings about things. Turn with me back to the book of Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 17. The scripture says some things about mankind and about man trusting in himself and believing in himself. And we know that these things are true because the scripture says so, but also you will understand that these things are true from your own experience. You'll understand that you, in your own experience, you've learned that you can't always trust your feelings, that you can't always trust your emotions, that you can't always be sure that what your, quote, inner voice is telling you is right. Because you know that inner voice that's talking to you is just you. It's you talking to yourself in your own mind, and you can't always trust that. Notice what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the first person that your heart will deceive is you. You see, the first person that you'll lie to is yourself. You can't always trust yourself. You can't always trust that what you feel about a certain thing is correct, or what this emotion is encouraging you to do is the right way to go, because your heart is deceitful, even to the point of deceiving itself, even to the point of deceiving you. Turn to the book of Psalms for a moment, the 116th Psalm. And in the 116th Psalm, this idea is repeated, and this, as I said, this is not a new idea at all. It's certainly set forth many places in the Scripture, but in addition to that, we need to think about today that we just know this implicitly, that we can't always trust our feelings. We can't always trust our emotions. Psalm 116 and verse 11 says this, I said in my haste, all men are liars. All men are liars. Jesus Christ said to some men in his earthly ministry, ye are of their father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and you are liars because you're of your father the devil. And as I said, the first being that your heart will deceive is you. So you can't really trust yourself. Anything that you produce or anything that a fellow man produces could be right, could be wrong, but you can't totally trust it because of that deceitfulness that's in man's heart, because of that deceitfulness that's in your heart and my heart. As I said, not only can we not trust others always, I'm sure you've had people lie to you somewhere in your life, somewhere along the line. I'm sure that your own emotions and your own thoughts have lied to you, your own feelings have lied to you somewhere along the line. And that's why you need to be very careful about who you can trust. When we talk about a book you can trust, we need to find a book then that comes from outside of mankind, that comes from outside of you or outside of any man's influence, because man can lie. Man is not always trustworthy. Turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter. And look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. In Romans 3, 1, Paul says this, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit of there is circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So God is true, every man is a liar. Now, as I said, we're reading those verses that tell us that, but you know that from your own experience. You know that you can't always trust people to tell you the truth. You know that you can't always trust your emotions to tell you the truth. But that sometimes your emotions will be telling you exactly the opposite thing of what in your mind you know needs to be done. So when we say we need to find a book we can trust, and that's the key word, a book we can trust, we need to be looking for something that originates outside of man. Something that is not man-made. Because any book that is man-made is not necessarily trustworthy. Cannot be trusted, certainly not in all times, in all areas. Well, where would we look for a book that can be trusted? Well, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 26. And the prophet Daniel, this passage in Daniel, the circumstances, the situation here, is that Daniel is captive in Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar has come to him and asked him the interpretation of a dream. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar has been having this dream, and he goes to his wise men, his magicians, his soothsayers, and he asks them to define for him the meaning of the dream. But King Nebuchadnezzar was smart. He didn't get to be king by being a dummy. So he asks them, I want you to tell me the dream first, and then tell me what the dream means. Because he's smart enough to know if they really are what they claim to be, soothsayers and magicians and mystical men, then they'll be able to tell me what the dream was without me telling them. And of course, all his magicians, all his soothsayers, they can't do that. And they say, well, King, nobody's ever asked us to do that before. But then Daniel comes on the scene. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 26, Daniel says this, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? So he's tried all of his men. They can't do it. So Daniel comes on the scene. He says, Daniel, can you tell me what the dream is? And then once you tell me what the dream is, you can tell me the interpretation of it. You can tell me what it means. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Well, can't your wise men, can't your magicians, can't your astrologers, don't they know? Of course, they hadn't. Daniel's belittling them. Daniel's making fun of them, being sarcastic about them. Then Daniel in verse 28 says this, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. There is a God in heaven that will make known to King Nebuchadnezzar his dream and the meaning of that dream. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. That God in heaven that reveals things. That word is important. God reveals. That is, He makes things known. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go down to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. We read this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God, there's that word again, revealed. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, but God has revealed those things. There is a God in heaven that reveals truth. There is a God in heaven that is a revelator. That is, He reveals information, And that information that he reveals is truth. The information he reveals can be trusted. Turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Isaiah, chapter 25. In Isaiah 25, there is a statement about God. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The Lord is faithful. That is, when he says he's going to do something, he'll do it. And truth. The things he says are true. So, if you're looking for a book you can trust, you need to find somebody outside of you, outside of yourself, and outside of mankind completely in order to be able to trust it, in order for it to be a book you can trust. If you just pick up some book that somebody wrote, suppose you pick up Mein Kampf that Adolf Hitler wrote. Now, do you trust that book? Suppose you pick up a Dr. Seuss book. Do you trust that book to be the way you live your life? All those books are written by men. They have good things, they have bad things. They have things that don't apply, things that do apply. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. His counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The things he reveals are true, and he is faithful always to what he says he will do. He is trustworthy. In him can we trust. So if we're looking for a book, a source of information that we can trust, what we're looking for is the Bible. Now, we've talked on this broadcast many times in the past about the proper Bible for English-speaking people being the King James translation of the Bible. But in this series, our focus is not so much on which Bible as to step back a little bit and understand there needs to be a source outside of yourself, an objective standard of truth, that every time that objective standard of truth speaks, it is right. And every time you disagree with that objective standard of truth, you're wrong, and you're willing to accept that. And instead of trying to change what the book says, you just say, I need to adjust my thinking to the book. See, most books you read, you can take what the author says or leave what the author says, or you can take some of it and then say, well, but I didn't agree with him in this thing, so I'm going to just reject that. You need a book that is not that way. You need a book that every word from word one to word the last is truth, and you can trust every word. That book has to originate with God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8. God, who is trustworthy, God who is faithful and true, God who is a revealer of things, has revealed things by writing them down. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8 says this, Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Write it in a table and note it in a book. God is a trustworthy God. His counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. He has taken that revelation, those things he reveals, those things that he has made known, and he's written them down and noted them in a book. And if you have a God that you can trust who writes things down in a book, that book becomes a book you can trust. And one of the foundations that you need to have in your life is a book that you trust absolutely, implicitly, always. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at what God says about this book that he has written. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and 2 Timothy was probably the last book written of God's Word, the last revelation of God comes through Paul as Paul writes to Timothy. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That God that is trustworthy, that God that reveals truth, that God whose counsels of old are faithfulness and truth, has inspired a book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You need something outside. If you're going to build a firm foundation because your own emotions and your own desires can't be trusted, and because the information and the desires and the emotions of others can't be trusted, other people, that is, you need to find some source outside of all of that. That source is God. The objective standard that God has provided you is a book, the Bible. And if you're going to build a foundation, your foundation that you build, your life that you build for the Lord, will be only as good as the book upon which it's founded. If you want to build your life on the Betty Crocker cookbook, you can build your life on the Betty Crocker cookbook. You want to build your life on Dr. Seuss that I mentioned earlier, you can build your life on that. But it will be a topsy-turvy life. It will not be a firm foundation. It will not be a solid life that you build. If you want to build starting on a good foundation, you start with a book you can trust, the Word of God. That Word of God will last. That's one of the things about the Word of God. You know, in Ecclesiastes, keep your, go back to Ecclesiastes. Just go back to Ecclesiastes, and then we'll get one last passage as we close out today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon says something very, very important in the book of Ecclesiastes about books and about the one true book. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 12. And further, my son, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Of making many books, there is no end. You can go into library after library after library. They're all full of books. And hundreds and thousands of new ones are being written every year, every month, every week, every day. It'll never end. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. You see, of all those books that are written, the only book you can trust is the one that God wrote. He wrote a book you can trust. Matthew chapter 24. One of the reasons you can trust His book is that His book will endure. His book will be here till the end. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, of making many books there is no end. But all those books are going to pass away. All those books, one day the information in those books will be meaningless. You know already there are books and books and books that are written. Science books that were written 200 years ago are hardly relevant today because we've learned so much more. Biology books written 200 years ago, a doctor would hardly use those books to study today because we've learned so much more. See, books become irrelevant as man's knowledge about a subject increases. Those old books become irrelevant. God's Word endures forever. It is as relevant today as it was the day it was written because it comes from a source outside of man. It comes from a source that is trustworthy. It comes from a source whose counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. If you're going to build your life, we're talking about these four foundations. We'll be spending a week on each one of these foundations. The first of those foundations that you need to lay is you need to find a book you can trust. And we haven't gotten a lot into which Bible, which book specifically, because I want you to understand today just that principle. You need to accept the fact that there's going to be some outside source of my information. I'm going to have an objective standard of truth, and I'm never going to change it. When I come to a part of it that I disagree with, I'm not going to change it. I'm going to allow it to change me. When I come to something in there that doesn't seem quite right, or that science seems to contradict, or my friends seem to contradict, I'm not going to change what that book says. I'm going to believe what that book says and assume that science and my friends are wrong. So you have to have that level of confidence, that level of trust, that level of faith in a book. And you need to determine what that book is. But for today, what we're talking about is just the fact that you need to have that book. For me, that book is the Word of God, the Bible. It has an origin outside of me, outside of man, therefore I can trust it. And for me, the book, the specific Bible for English-speaking people is the King James Bible. It's the one I can read and understand. It's not in Greek, it's not in Arabic, it's not in any other language. It's in English, I can read it, I can understand it. And every time I disagree with it, I say, well, I got to change what I think to what that verse says. A book you can trust. We want to help you understand more about how to build your life as a believer and the foundation to build it upon. And we'd like to do that by inviting you to write to us here at Grace Alive. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. As I said, this is the first in our series of studies, a book you can trust. We'll spend 1 week on each of these issues, and if you'd like to receive the audio and video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series, just contact us in any one of those ways I just mentioned. Ask for the series on building the foundation. We'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. Now, until next week, when we look at a gospel you can believe, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.